Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, and welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are 100%. You know this. This platform, this Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you. The women and men of manufacturing, the women and men of industry. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate. Boy, do you innovate, and you are changing lives in the world around you. That's why we celebrate you on this podcast pretty much every day. That's right. Now we're in love with you every single day, and that's why you are the heroes on this particular podcast. All right. Another great interview, and this is associated with Accelerate 20, right? Accelerate 20. That is a conference brought to you by those wonderful people at Fluke Reliability. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. His name is Blair Fraser, and that's F-R-A-S-E-R. UE Systems is the company. We're talking about IIoT. Let's get rocking. Yep. All right. I want you to get out your calendar, paper, pencil, something to mark it up. And I want to put this date down. You got to put these dates down on that particular calendar. It is November 17th to November 19th. It is a virtual conference. Of course it is, because we live in this pandemic world right now. And it's Accelerate 20. That's X-C-E-L-E-R-A-T-E 20. And that is a conference brought to you by those incredible folks at Fluke Reliability. And I need for you to put that down. And quite honestly, you know what's going to happen? You're going to also listen to Blair Fraser. He is one of the incredible, one of many, trust me, one of many incredible professionals that are going to be sharing how to do things the right way in the world of asset management, reliability, IoT, Industry 4.0, and anything in between. The theme of this particular event, and boy, is it timely. I just want to make sure you understand it is timely. And I'm going to look over here at my other computer because I want to make sure I get it straight. The six domains of resilience. Now, you know as well as I do, to build a business of resilience, and I've been preaching this on the Industrial Talk podcast, is that you're going to have to collaborate, you're going to have to innovate, you're going to have to educate with a sense of speed and purpose, right? And you're going to have to be able to put these processes in place so that if, Lord willing, it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, you get hit by the two-finger death blow of the COVID or some other unusual virus, you'll have a business of resiliency. So the themes that are going to be communicated to you going forward, specifically with the Accelerate 20 cast of incredible professionals, is the sixth domain of resilience. Number one. Vision, that is purpose, goal, right? And congruency, okay? Composure, that's the other one. We're talking about reasoning, health, tenacity, and of course, my favorite is collaboration, and I'm always into that. But all of this is wrapped up in, you're gonna be innovating, you're gonna be definitely educating, and it is an absolute honor that I have the opportunity to not just speak to Blair, but others that will be presenting at this particular conference. And I'm telling you, they're going to bring the lumber. They're going to bring the excitement. They're going to bring the energy because you deserve it, because you need to learn about this. And this is a, boy, is this a timely topic. Everything that's associated with, you know, Industry 4.0, IoT, devices, you name it, it is a timely conversation. Now, let's get on with the interview. Blair Fraser. Now, I want to make sure you understand that. That is with an A-S, not a Z. That's F-R-A-S-E-R. UE Systems is the company. He is the global director of IIoT Solutions at that wonderful, fine business. And we are talking about, in this particular episode, talking about lubrication and strategies associated with using the IIoT solutions and the devices associated with it so that you can properly lube your equipment, which is very doggone important. I'm telling you right now, look into that. Reach out to them. Now, everything is going to be there. You're going to have to get involved. Once again, November 17th through the 19th, Accelerate 20 is the event. I'm going to have that link out there. If not, you just go on to Google and boop, pop that in there. Make sure it's an X, and you'll find all you need. Get engaged. Get on it. I'm going to be doing it. So shoot you. All right, let's get on with that interview. Blair Frazier is the one in the hot seat. We had a great time. Enjoy the conversation. Blair, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you found time in your busy schedule to talk to the listeners of this fine podcast.
It is a fine podcast, Scott, and thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah. Wow, that's a way to start a podcast.
That's right. Wow. Thank you very much for joining.
All right, that was excellent.
Yeah. All right, for the listeners out there, you can tell that Blair's got a little spunk in him. He's quite peppery. Give us a little background into who you are and why you're such a great professional there, Blair, and then we're going to talk a little bit about lubrication.
Well, I can give you some background. I don't know about a great side of me, but absolutely. So my name is Blair Frazier. I'm the director of IIoT over at UE Systems. UE Systems has been around for 40 years in the ultrasound business and in preventative maintenance, energy optimization, things like that, using ultrasound as a technology. I started my career as boots on the ground. I'm actually, and not a very good one, a licensed electrician. And what I say is even my own family wouldn't hire me to install a light bulb. So I think that speaks to my skill set from that perspective, because I didn't do it very long and I did go back and get into engineering on the electrical and automation side. I spent the first part of my career on the shop floor, which I think brought me a lot of real sense, real life. And then I ventured out in the technology space. The last 3 years prior to joining UE Systems, I focused on artificial intelligence. What is a guy like me doing in artificial intelligence? I still don't know to this day. And again, the way I learned artificial intelligence was through brute force. And that brought me into the technology game, and now at UE Systems, focusing on technology. How we can leverage the power of ultrasound and bring that to more people in a more convenient, more safe way.
You know what's interesting about, I think pre-virus, pre-pandemic, pre-two-fingered, you know, death punch, I believe that people said, innovation is important to my process, my manufacturing, my industry.
Yeah.
But I'm going to sort of run a 2 to 5 year timeline on it. COVID hits. Boom. Then all of a sudden, we need to create a business of resiliency. And at base, we've got to be able to, we've got to bring the innovation. And that's where you sort of shine. And that's where UE Systems shine, because you're right there where you're creating solutions for businesses that keep them up and running as long as they possibly can, which is very important. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it is. And I think from a point of resiliency, I think it was the CEO of GM said it best. If you go into this pandemic and come out the same way you came in, you have failed to take an opportunity, right? And I think that's a challenge to all of us. And what we're seeing, and it's very clear to this day, is those people that invested in innovation or in automation or in some part of their digital transformation process going in to COVID, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to go down that line, but you had a better opportunity in front of you from those that did not, right? And we can clearly see it. And I'm sure you've done this across all industries. There's certain industries that lag. And there's going to be many listeners go, yeah, that's me. Right? And we all have that excuse. Oh, my company doesn't innovate. But I think what we've learned from this type of technology is small incremental steps, right? That is the key. And that's what we're trying to do at UE Systems. I'll give you an example. You mentioned, we help companies operate safer, more reliable, more energy efficient. And we do. But the key part to remember is we are one piece of a larger puzzle, right? And what I love what's happening in industry is the big giants, right, of companies and the small mom and pop shops now are all contributing to a better, more efficient work environment.
See, right? That's interesting you bring that up, because, you know, everybody understands the one side of that sword, and that sword is painful, that COVID sword. Yes, we got it. People are hurting. Yeah. There's some challenges. The other side, and you just brought it up, you sort of touched upon it, there is a greater spirit of collaboration.
There has to be. And it's
driven, there has to be. Well,
people listening to this podcast are the ones that are driving it. And I love it because the giant companies are not going to, and the vendor, I'm talking about vendors, are not going to own the ecosystem. We've seen it. We've seen companies try to, we'll build this ecosystem for you and it's going to have everything. No. You know what? You know what we're really good at? ultrasound. You know what we're not really good at? A lot of other things. So don't come to us for the other things. We are going to supply you with world-class, best-in-class ultrasound solutions. Use it for that. If you want to tie it into other systems, that's great. Love we are it. Going to play in their sandbox.
See, and I love that. I think that that is a beautiful statement, because I really believe that. And I believe the fact that when we start to look back, we're going to say, okay, yeah, some people, yeah, they didn't take advantage, but there's going to be a lot of people who are saying, that was the best, that unfortunate situation was the best for my business, because I was able to contact Blair. We created greater focus into what we needed to do, just because we needed to, and we're not dealing with all the shiny objects out there.
That's right. There's a lot of shiny things.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell people is, you can go and start to Google IoT solutions, and you can find so many solutions. I lost track. I used to keep track of them and follow them to see technology. And I love technology. Yeah. Even if it's from a competitor, I love it, right? Because we're all contributing to the better good. The sandbox is huge, right? But here's the, and keep this in mind, I'm the director of IoT at UV Systems. Companies, people don't need IoT, right? What they need is a solution to a problem. IoT is a mechanism, is a tool that could possibly solve that problem, not guarantee it, but it's a tool, a method to solve a problem. What you need to do is figure out how to solve a problem, and hopefully IoT has an aspect of that.
I love it, and you're absolutely spot on, and I think those conversations are happening, because I think that people are saying, I can't dilly-dally. I've got to come up with solutions to my problem.
Right.
And those problems are whatever it might be.
Here's the reality. And another CEO, Microsoft, right, came out and said digital transformation changed in more in 2 months than it did in the last 10 years or something like that. And totally agree. Because what are we seeing is, you know, a lot of us are going to listen to this podcast and we're sitting at home. I used to be on a plane every other day.
Yes.
I haven't left my house. I don't know what to do. I got to like paint it or something, right? I haven't left my house. So here's the challenge. I'm now supporting customers. I'm having these conversations. Yeah. We're in technical talks with all these companies, and I'm doing it from my house. It's something I thought was never possible before.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm a face-to-face person. I want to look you in the eyes, make sure I trust you, see how you act, make sure you put your shopping cart away, right? Those type of things. And then do that. But I'm learning these face-to-face conversations. Now, we're lucky we know each other from the past, right?
Yeah.
But what a difference these technologies can do, right?
And you're absolutely correct. And I think it's forever changed, right? I mean, it's harder for business to justify Blair to jump on a plane to go talk to somebody when maybe it's just a 15-minute conversation. We could do it by Zoom and it'd be just every bit as effective. And I think that there are going to be other consequences that are resulting from this, and some people are going to say, why do I need that office?
Right.
Just stay in your house and talk to them, you know.
Well, that's right. So here's the thing. Now many of us are getting overloaded with Zoom meetings and things like that. Yeah. They've actually been proven that these virtual meetings are way more tiring than actually meeting in person. So if you ever get done a day of just back-to-back meetings and you're exhausted, you're like, I didn't do anything. All I did was talking to a screen, but I'm exhausted. That's why.
Yeah.
But we flip that onto the end of what we're seeing now with IoT, in particular condition monitoring. And I've gone out and said, I think we're at a crisis point. I think we have a serious problem with IoT and condition monitoring, because I think we are getting so much data we don't know what to do with now. We can strap a sensor onto anything and get data.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily what it means, right? And I come from AI, and I know the value of collecting data. Data, I still don't believe data is the new gold. I believe insights is the new gold. Data is just the raw material.
Right.
To get that gold. It's the iron ore, if you will, to get that gold. But we're focusing on capturing this data. And with an AI background, absolutely collect data. Never delete data. Always save that data. You never know when you need it. But really what we're trying to get to is insights. We're trying to solve that problem. How do we get to insights? So you can start to log in these systems and get all this information, but how do we get insights, right?
But isn't there a way to being able to say, okay, I'm collecting data, and there's data. Oh, man, it's a freaking tsunami. And when somebody says I can put an IoT device out there, and that device is cheap, and all I do is just sort of stick it out there, and now it's into the cloud.
Right.
There's data everywhere, and it is a tsunami. The key is to be able to take that data and really create the parameters of saying, this is important data. This is not important data. Get rid of that. Because maybe it's not. But then, of course, you want to save it all.
Sure, of course. Yeah. And, you know, and AI is going to help. AI is going to help through that data, start to tell us. And I love it. Big fan of artificial intelligence. But also, there's data, there's insights, and a very, very small portion of that data we're collecting is what I call actionable insights. What can I do from the data turned to insights, turned to actionable insights I can do? And let's talk about a bearing, for example.
Yeah.
So bearings, they're spinning around in our plants, our industry everywhere, right? It is said that 80% of premature bearing failures can be traced back to poor lubrication practices, right?
Yeah. Too much, not enough.
That's right.
Whatever. It's just like, right.
So it's a smoking gun, right? Everyone says, well, I have a downtime issue with my rotating equipment. Well, your bearings, I think it was SKF came up with a study saying less than 11% of roller element or anti-friction bearings meet their design life.
Less just 11%?
Less than 11, so I don't know if it was 10.9.
Well, let's just round down and say 10%.
We can say that, right? So we know bearings are failing. But here we are. In my opinion, going back to that crisis I think we're in, we go to the PF curve. Every reliability maintenance person probably knows that PDF curve, right? And everyone's racing to P. P is that point that has an by Nolan and Heaps, an identifiable physical condition that something's going wrong, right?
Right.
So every single person and company is there is saying, hey, I can detect this point P on this bearing before anybody else, right? That's what everyone's racing to, right? To give us enough time to start planning like that. Great, because you know I don't get figuratively caught with my pants down. I can start to plan, right? But there's, you look at that PDF curve, there's also a domain just to the left of that, what's called the predictive domain, called the proactive domain, right? This is where we're trying to prevent the failure from happening in the first place. So, you know, Benjamin Franklin, what ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? I think that holds true with this too. What if we were to put just a small, every person out there listening to it, for every $1 you spend at detecting a failure, you put 10 cents of that into trying to eliminate failure from happening in the first place, or even not even eliminating it, but prolonging it.
Yeah. I was just going to say you can prolong it because eventually just bearings themselves will eventually wear, no matter, let's say you're hitting your lubrication on target, right? Going to eventually over time wear. But the key is that one moment when you can pull it out properly, put another one in, and you're back up and running. It's better than having a catastrophic type of deal.
That's right. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's really what we're trying to do with IoT and ultrasound. So what we're doing with that is we've already established for decades the process or this idea called ultrasound assisted or guided lubrication. And what we're doing there is we're measuring friction, right? The purpose of an anti-friction or rotor element bearing is to reduce friction. So it makes sense. Let's monitor friction. And what that friction tells us is two things. Exactly when that thin film, less than 1 mil on those ball bearings, has started to degrade, it's not there, and we cruise friction. So it's telling us when we need to re-lubricate or re-grease, right? But we also use that friction to tell us precisely how much lubrication is required, okay? So we're getting to that, you know, common lubrication issue, what I call inadequate greasing. That covers over-lubrication and under-lubrication. Both are just as bad. Too little grease is bad, that makes sense. But guess what? You put too much grease into a bearing, you fill that cavity, you create more friction. It just makes sense, right?
But so, you got those individuals out. More is better. More is better.
I'm gonna be fully candid with you here, Scott. I was that guy. When I started my career, I was working in a facility, and I thought every month I went around and I squeezed that. I said, yep, I saw that old grease come out the seal, right? I must have put enough grease in.
It's good. Right? Perfect.
Yeah, I done good.
Now to the next one.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's interesting. If I had been measuring friction, I would have seen, hey, this is literally what happens. You start to add grease. Say a bearing needs grease, right? You start to lubricate, that friction starts to go down, right? You can literally watch it with our software. Yeah. You start to apply more grease after you've replenished that thin film. Your friction starts to go back up again, past the point that you started at.
Right.
You actually made that bearing worse, right? You've actually literally, by thinking you're adding grease, you've made it worse.
Right.
So here's the challenge. So now we're in this world, this COVID world. So what we're trying to do is enable technology to make us better, to make us faster, to make us smarter, right? And I fully believe that technology is never going to replace proper education experts in this field, even with AI, okay? What I'm saying is we need to enable these people better. So what we see is the average wrench time in a facility can be 30%, which gives the average person or technician about 144 minutes a day to do work. Now, if that's your lubrication technician, he has 144 minutes to go around and lubricate, or she, to go lubricate. How many bearings can you lubricate in that time, right? So here's the challenge. In this COVID world, just like we learned that most of our business can get transferred over to home offices and virtual, obviously maintenance, very tough. You can't bring assets home with you. We can learn that we don't necessarily need to go out to this equipment, right? So the challenge is there is we use this ultrasound guided lubrication. We're using technology. In fact, our on-track system can bring you that friction level in real time to anybody on any device. Right now, I am looking at the friction of a bearing in a system in the Netherlands on my phone, right? So I can see the friction of that. And what's great about that is it's not data, it's insights. Friction to me, I understand, right? If this friction goes to here, I need to lubricate. It's very simple, right? But here's the challenge. When I have to go lubricate, I still have to go out to that vice to go do it, right?
You physically have to. I mean,
it's I physically have to go out.
I got to walk out there with the grease gun and boom, and get on that.
Yeah, bar. I'm going to grab my grease gun. I'm going to get a permit. I'm going to put on my safety equipment because things are spinning, things are falling, and all that stuff, right? So this was one solution to a problem of three common failures of inadequate lubrication. The right lubricant is a huge issue.
I got it right down there. I've got the right grease. So
the right, said, the
you
right
gotta grease. Get it, baby.
So what have we done? We've recommended procedures in place. Color coat your grease nipples. Make different fittings. So there's no physical way you can put the wrong grease in. And the third one is contamination.
Big.
You don't want anything in that, right? No. And it's contrary to belief, the smaller the particle, the more damage it does. You're better off putting a bowling ball in there than a piece of sand, right?
At least you can see the bowling ball.
You could, So here we are. So even with ultrasound-guided lubrication, we're still making sure we're lubricating not based on time, because we have learned that time-based anything in our world is bad, right? So typically, you know, practices are time-based. Every month, I'm going to go give it a shot of lubrication. Ultrasound-guided lubrication, we still go around on a time-based method, but we're measuring friction. Okay, this friction hasn't changed. I don't need to lubricate, right? And then the other side of the fence is saying, I'm going to put in what's called an automatic lubrication device. Okay, these are individual units, sometimes through a distribution block, which dispense a very precise amount of lubricant or grease into a bearing at a specific time. So every day I'm going to put in 8 cc's, or every month I'm going to squirt
in. But it's driven by data. It's driven by insights. You're not just doing it just because, but you're
You're doing it by data, but you're doing it by time typically. So you're doing it still every day. I'm going to put a little bit of grease in there, which is good. But you still don't know if that little bit of grease every day is required, because you still don't know the friction. Right? So you set these devices up. Some of them do have vibration sensors in them to make sure you're only going to lubricate when it's running, but you're still not getting condition-based lubrication. So on one side, we're saying, hey, do condition-based lubricate. And you have other people on our side that's saying, I have these automatic devices that are going to take care of it for me. And hopefully I've set up the right time-based. So it doesn't take much to think about, what if I put real-time friction into these automatic lubrications, where I'm sending a signal based on friction to a lubrication device that thin film. I don't care if a month has passed, 2 days has passed, because it depends if how I treated it, what the load was on it, how fast it was, things like that. So welcome to the OnTrack Smart Loop. We develop a product that we can then monitor that friction in real time on my phone. And guess what? If I wanted to, with the proper security, because IoT is all about security, I can hit this lubricate button on my phone, and what it's going to do is send a signal to that automatic lubrication device and dispense a known quantity of contaminant-free, exactly the right lubricant into that bearing. And I can hit that button, watch that fall. If I need to lubricate a little more, I hit that button again. This is what technology is doing for us, right? And I think it's very important to note is we're not replacing that lubrication expert. You still need to know the fundamentals of lubrication. You need to expect the right grease. You need to make sure it's the right quantity going in there, right? But you have a real-time feedback mechanism to say when and how much grease to put in there.
Yeah, see, this is so interesting because I love the innovation that exists out there, especially within IoT and how it, like, again, you know, this whole COVID thing has brought that to right up front. And I think people are having these meaningful conversations, and that that solution by UE Systems is just fantastic.
It's fantastic, but it also goes to where I think technology is going to fit. And and regardless of how good the solution is, the cost, there has to be a cost to benefit ratio, right? Yeah. Because if this is too much, you know what? I'm going to take that risk. I'm going to put an automatic louver, or I'm still going to go in and do routes. And that makes sense. Right. So we had to think of technology. What's great is technology is adapting so quick. It's driving the cost down of everything. To take your data, put it to the cloud. We're not in the cloud business, right? We host our data in the cloud, but it's not our cloud.
No,
I'm not. I'm not competing with Jeff Bezos to store data in the cloud or or Bill Gates there. Right. So
I highly advise against that. Just you don't want to get into that market. I think
that's right.
There are other people in it.
Quite well, though. So that's the great part, right? And really, it's the freedom with COVID. And the example in the beta customer we had, their lubrication guy was camping. So I said, hey, we have this system on. I'm looking at this data. I'm not a lubrication guy, right? I mean, I am from some parts, but I don't spend day in and day out thinking about lubrication. So he says, hey, I'm on vacation. I'm up in this national park. I'm going to look at the data. He grabbed his cell phone. He's looking at that friction data. You know what he did? He hit the button, he lubricated precisely while on vacation, right? I apologize for interrupting his vacation, but it proves the point there that even if he was at home, right? Or even in the plant at his desk, right?
But does your system, does this ultrasound IoT device proactively, let's say, it's seeing something. Something's going on. And I don't have to. I'm eating dinner, and then all of a sudden I receive a blip. That to me is important too.
It is, absolutely. So it's going to tell you. So it's going to fit in that predictive domain. And I'm not going to get into the debate of the PDF curve on which technology can sooner, because that's just a wormhole. I'm not going. Obviously, as things start to fail, you're going to have friction. So on the lubrication side, there really has to be two parts. And with any system, what I challenge is the biggest challenge we have is not cost, it's not installation, it's culture change. It's culture change, right? How many times, and I'm sure when you talk to people in RCM, you do an RCM, you get a binder, and it sits on a shelf, right?
90 percentile range.
That's right.
So it's just FYI.
I mean, I used to do that. I used to sell these products, and I go a month later, 2 months later, a year later, how's this new product? And they hand me the box. You blow the dust off. Yeah, we haven't done it yet. Right? Like, oh. All right, well, you better buy another one then. Right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So here's the culture change. So if we're taking that culture shift from someone that's going out with the grease gun and lubricating themselves, right? And I have met those people, and I am always surprised how darn accurate they are. And I know this bearing. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to feel for it, and I'm going to put it in. And right, I'm a technology guy, and my first instinct is to say, you're absolutely wrong. But gosh darn, they're right a lot of the times too. So that tribal knowledge is very important. So if I say to that person, I'm going to put a system in, or your boss is going to put a system in that's just going to go lubricate on its own, you don't do anything, right? Not very good for cultural change. Are you going to trust that system? No matter how good I tell you that algorithm is that's doing this, the math and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So there's a manual aspect to it. Bing, this bearing requires lubrication, you go and you lubricate it as if you're using a grease gun. Instead of squeezing a grease gun, you're hitting a button on yourself, right? You still have complete control. You know what? I don't want to put any more in there because I know last time I lost one, blah, 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 right? We do have an auto feature, which is going to see an 8 decibel increase in that friction, which is standard. It's going to start to inject grease very slowly over time with thresholds on either side to make sure we don't over lubricate it. Right? So it's going to put a grease in and it's going to have stopping points. Listen, I put this much grease in and that friction is not changing. It's an indication that there's a fault with that bearing. I can mask it maybe for a day with lubricant, right? But it's going to come back. So a patented algorithm in there that's going to do it. But we give the person option to build confidence in that, because what we're doing, and this goes back to data, is we're storing every time that bearing is lubricated. We know when it was lubricated, how long it took to get lubricated, that lubrication cycle, and how much lubrication was required. And we start tracking time in between. So, hey, Scott, last time you lubricated this, you used, I'm going to make this number up, 10 grams,
right?
And it, and you tensed it over 2 hours, right? Okay, interesting. Hey, this time I'm using 11 and it took me 3 hours. I'm making these times up, but you can start to see, right? But that's very insightful information.
That
feeds into that automatic lubrication, right?
Yeah.
And so it to me, it becomes that trust issue. So we really want to put what I'm calling the lubrication cockpit, right? Put that person in front of it, have the screen, build trust in that system. You are the teacher. This system is the apprentice, right?
Right.
He's not install it. It's going to take care of everything for me. No, you need to teach it. You need to work.
And it doesn't take much. If there was like a damn moment and I was leveraging and using my technology and it failed on me, you know, all of a sudden that culture will shift on a dime. And
you
it's
get
like,
one kick
all right, I'm getting a man out there and they're going to bump it.
You get one kick at the can to prove yourself.
One.
And that thing is flying off a bridge. This system, right?
It is. It's so damn true, man.
Yep.
I've never seen anything so fast.
That's right. And here's what we're doing. Once you build confidence, you want to build it to the, or put it in automatic mode. It's going to send you something. It's going to say, hey, Scott, it says this verbatim, but hey, Scott, just to let you know, this bearing requires lubrication. I'm going to go and I'm going to lubricate it for you. And I did it. I put in 10 grams of grease over this amount of period. I dropped the friction from here down to here. I couldn't quite get it down to baseline because I was afraid of over-greasing it, right? But I got it that friction down, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to notify you that it did it. And you can say, hey, good job. Next time, be more aggressive. Put a little more in, right?
Right,
go
right.
That, right. So it's a feedback mechanism. It's always going to tell you what it does. But this is really where I think technology is getting. We're at the point of building apprentices of ourselves, right? Of our tribal knowledge.
That's
right?
True.
And passing that knowledge along. So I think that's where we're going to have, you know, these types of systems, right? And again, it goes back to that first statement. It's not data. It's very actionable insights. This bearing requires lubrication. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, right? It's not, here's a bunch of data, stand on your head, bite your tongue to your left.
Yeah.
What does this data look like, right? It's saying, hey, this requires lubrication. Do you want me to lube it? Essentially, that's what it's going to
do. Yeah, and I love that. I mean, that's powerful stuff. And let's put it this way. You might get one kick out of the can, at the can, and then it's going off of the whatever. Yep. But the reality is that IoT's here. The companies like UE System, people like you, are going to be in it for the long haul, right? Yep. And it's always going to be around. And either you begin to embrace it, you begin to do it, and you'll just have to, you're just going to have to go down that road.
Start small. And I've seen
so many companies. See, that's that incrementalism. That's cool.
Yeah. And I have that. Customers that are saying, hey, I want to put 100 of these systems in. I'm like, yeah, that's okay, but I'm going to sell you one.
Yeah. That's smart, right? Baby. It is true.
I'm going to sell you one because I want you to get used to it. I want you to prove it. Right? Yeah.
No, I think
that is get used to it and feel it out, right? And
I love
it. Adopt it and then put some more in, right? And it comes back. Companies don't need IoT. They need a solution. This is a solution to what causes 80% of premature failures.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's huge because those things are swirling and spinning and thing. They're in a harsh environment, and it's warm, and it's hot, like it's cold, it's whatever.
It's like a NASCAR race. They just constantly in the same direction. It's all left turns.
It is. It's true. All right, let's. We're gonna have to wrap this up now. You're gonna be speaking at an event called Accelerate 20. What's your topic? What are you gonna be talking about there?
Probably health stuff, but it's gonna be around IoT.
Proper eating habits.
That's right. we all might have gained some COVID-15 here.
No, I gained COVID-25. I was committed to the barbecue. Also,
I'm gonna be talking about the need for a truly automatic lubrication device and how it comes together and what some of the logic is behind it and really what these types of solutions can do for us, right? And where does this fit in an overall ecosystem? As I said, this is one part. You know what? Bearings or motors do fail for other reasons than bearings. And guess what? I can't detect those, right? I'm the first one to tell you. There's still a small percentage of these. So I'm not going to say if you put this on, you'll never have a bearing failure again. Because John Smith might hammer in a bearing with the biggest sledgehammer you've ever seen.
That's right.
Well, how does this fit into a bigger ecosystem? I think that's important to talk
about. I love it. All right. Blair, you were absolutely wonderful. Blair Frazier, UE Systems is the company. We were talking a lot about lubrication, automatic lubrication, cool little IoT devices that definitely will help your asset run better. I like it. You're awesome. A pretty cool guy.
Pretty cool.
All right, you listeners out there. Hey, are you active out on LinkedIn?
I'm very active, yes.
All right. Blair Frazier, you'll get all his contact information on industrialtalk.com, this particular podcast, as well as information about Accelerate 20. You need to participate in that. Don't come to me and say, Scott, I don't know where to find that, because I'll just say no. You do. You got to go up to industrialtalk.com, click on that link, boom, get engaged. You'll be listening to individuals like Blair and others that are just absolutely passionate about what they do. Blair, thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
You're awesome. Okay, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, what did I tell you? That's Blair Frazier, man. He is an absolute, I don't know, he's a big thinker, baby, in the world of lubrication and definitely IIoT with that wonderful company called UE Systems. All right, I'm going to reiterate this. You're going to have to get your calendar out. Get a pencil with that, too. And I want to make sure you write down Accelerate. That's Accelerate 20. That's a 2 and a 0 if you want to know how to spell that. November 17th through the 19th. It's all virtual. So go out to Accelerate 20. Find out more. Get engaged, because you're going to be listening to some of the best that are in this particular industry when it comes to reliability. That is, Fluke Reliability is putting that bad boy on. All right, we need resiliency, right? That means you need a vision, composure, reasoning, health, tenacity, collaboration. We're going to expand upon this as we continue to bring in more individuals and talk about that. People, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what we're all about. Be safe, and we're going to have another interview shortly.